So the current political dialogue calibrates at consciousness level 200. In my generation, in which I grew up, the political dialogue calibrated about 280 or 290. So it's of a lower nature. It's just on the edge of 200. Neither good nor bad, but at the same time, neither one. It's because of the influence of the media. People are not interested in what you are in reality. They're interested in what kind of an image is projected of you. And so the projected image is what they are hoping will sway the populace. And as I say, it's done by popularity, not by capability. So it's like being the most popular surgeon on the staff. It doesn't mean you're the best one. When I get operated for a brain tumor, I'm not interested in a popularity contest. I'm interested in expertise. So our society is not looking at expertise. They're looking at popularity. So they figure popularity is what gets the votes. So the aim of the political dialogue then is being very conscious of the media and then trying to play the media and play people's prejudices and belief systems rather than lead them. So I don't see, some people think this is a great emergence forward, but it is not actually. It's just a play on popularity. We have sexism now and racism. And then, of course, we have ageism. We have sexism, racism, and now ageism. So you got all these isms battling for each other. And as we say, the minute you add ism to the end of a thing, it drops below 200. So the actual impact of the dialogue is actually below 200, although hypothetically it's 200, its actual impact, as we've seen the rantings and ravings on the television, and trying to suppress things you don't want spoken because it reflects a bad image, and trying to over-exaggerate things that might sound favorable. So it's sort of the usual manipulation. The desire for political office seems to be ravenous. Once people are bitten by it, it seems like they will do or say anything to get into that office. As I say, the minute you get elected, 50% of the people hate you because they all voted against you. So why the office is so popular is hard to say. It appears, I guess, narcissism to be so important to be the president of a country. I would view the office as being one of responsibility, that you're elected because of the recognition of your capability to be the best leader at the time. And of course, I, having lived through a different generation, I remember the Blitz in London, start of World War II. Winston Churchill was drafted to be who he was because of his capability, not his popularity. In fact, as far as popularity goes, after he'd won the war, you know, he got FDR and America involved, and he got Stalin and communism. After winning the war, the next election, after saving their lives, the populace did not vote him in. That was the thanks he got. The thanks he got for engineering the winning of the war and holding the British people together. Consciousness level 500. They didn't even re-elect him. I thought that was a real kick in the head, wasn't it? You sacrifice everything for your country, save your country, and they don't even re-elect you. Which says about what I think about politics. Integrity is up front, and character and integrity plus capability. So you would want somebody with great experience and great integrity and a good sense of reality and who understands politics, who's been in it long enough. So you'd just be looking for positive characteristics. Now, none of those characteristics have anything to do with race or gender. Gender doesn't make you a better politician. Neither does race or color or age or any of those things, any more than it would a physician. I don't care what color a brain surgeon is. I want the best brain surgeon around, whether it's a woman, a man, a black, or I don't care what, because these are qualities that are needed to save what's left of democracy as it manages to survive.